In a few days in the State of the State, I'll be providing and presenting an emergency financial reinvention plan, which will lay out all the specifics, a blueprint for change, a blueprint for action.
Governor Cuomo from his inaugural address on Saturday, and it's today that he starts to lay out that emergency financial plan. This afternoon at 1:30, he returns to the speaker's podium for his first State of the State address, in which he will tell us more about that plan. We will be covering it live on AM 820 WNYC. I'll also be hosting a live online simultaneous chat on our politics website. It's afreecountry.org. So if you want to have sort of an online viewing party and listening party when Governor Cuomo gives the State of the State address at 1:30 this afternoon, make a note to join us on itsafreecountry.org at 1:30. Among the governor's partners in his fight to cut state spending will be a new pressure group calling itself the Committee to Save New York, led by New York's banking and real estate industries, but with a coalition that reportedly includes the Construction Workers Union, a former head of the State Democratic Party, and former state comptroller Carl McCall. Perhaps most importantly, they plan to spend money on television commercials to counter the expected advertising blitz by public employee unions once the budget battle begins in earnest. With me now are two of the organizers of the Committee to Save New York, Catherine Weil, chair of the Partnership for New York City, comprised of 200 top CEOs in the city, and Stephen Spinola, president of the Real Estate Board of New York, an association of 12,000 owners, builders, brokers, and others involved in New York Realty. Welcome back, both of you, to WNYC. Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you, Brian. Happy New Year.
Let's first give our listeners more of an idea of what the Committee to Save New York is and your relationship with Governor Cuomo. Catherine Weil, who's on this committee and how do you see your mission?
Well, we're building a broad-based group, representatives of organizations from around New York State, from the Long Island Association, representing business and civic leaders on Long Island, to the same type of group from Central New York, from Syracuse, from Rochester. We really want to bring New York State together around supporting the governor's efforts to deal with the crisis, both economic and fiscal, that New York State finds itself in. And I was going to say, in terms of your introduction, we really see this as a positive effort to engage the public, as Governor Cuomo said in his inaugural speech, that people have sort of written off Albany. We haven't been paying attention. And we really need to get more people involved in helping to understand what's happening and mobilizing the political will to do something to change our state around, so that, as Governor Cuomo has said, we can take this crisis and turn it into an opportunity for long-term change, for reforms that are going to serve the future generations of New York very well.
And I know we are expecting to hear from the governor today, not just talk of crisis and pain, but talk of opportunity and long-term positivity with respect to New York. It'll be interesting to hear how he frames that. And Stephen Spinola, you're in the real estate business, and I've seen reports that the Construction Workers Union is in your coalition, breaking with its public employee brothers and sisters in the labor movement, if you will, because it believes that spending less on public employees will lead to more construction jobs coming back. Has that union officially joined the committee?
I'm not sure if they've officially done so, but we've clearly been talking to Gary LaBarber and other construction trades. You know, the construction trades have been our partners for generations in terms of building New York City and New York State, and they understand that the best way for their people to be working is for taxes to be rational, reasonable, for job opportunities and investments to take place in New York State. And the only way you can do that is to create a sense of confidence that New York State is not going to be facing this crisis that we're now in about our ability to pay for services and whether or not taxes are going to be jumping up, encouraging jobs to move out of the state of New York. So the construction trades, they're a natural partner on this, because their hundreds of thousands of workers statewide depend upon how well the private sector views the future of the state of New York and how well they're doing in terms of the overall economy.
I think in the past, Stephen, a group like yours would have been portrayed in the press as an outside interest group, but I'm seeing you referred to as an ally of Governor Cuomo, working hand in glove with Governor Cuomo in terms like that. How closely are you coordinating with the new administration?
Well, we've made a decision to create this coalition independent of the governor. We've clearly have spoken to the governor. He's gone around speaking not just to us but to other groups about the need for the business community, for citizens throughout the state of New York to speak up about their fears about where the state's fiscal problems are going and where taxes are going and where our debt is going. And so And what's very encouraging for all of us is that the governor is articulating exactly what we've been arguing for the past year or two, that we, in a crisis that we've had, instead of raising the budget by $9 billion one year, we should have cut the budget. Last year we raised the budget by another couple of billion dollars. We should not have done that. Governor Cuomo is now basically articulating the reality that we cannot afford to continue to spend beyond our means. So are we an ally to Governor Cuomo on this issue? We're very much an ally. I'm sure that in the end there's going to be a budget that will be proposed by the governor, that there's going to be elements that I'm not going to like, either for my industry or for other industries. But in the end, it's got to be a budget that says that New York State is not going to continue to spend unreasonable dollars and is not going to continue to tax people beyond their means.
And Catherine Wilde, I've read that traditionally business interests spend about two-thirds more than unions on political campaigns in New York State, but the unions spend more on lobbying once the elected officials are in office. Is your goal to change that balance of power?
No, I don't think so. I think the goal is business spends plenty of money, but usually focused on very narrow industry interests. And the same with organized labor and the same with other special interest groups that are looking to Albany for money, whether it's the universities or other groups. They tend to focus on narrow interests. What the challenge that I think Governor Cuomo is going to lay out today in his message, which is a theme that he's been running, is, okay, enough with your narrow special interests. The whole place is falling apart. There is no more resource. Basically, the state can't support any of you unless we fix what's going on, unless we figure out how to grow our economy in a constructive way, unless we get control of the taxes, and that we grow our tax base by building our economy, not by simply raising taxes on people who, at this point, people and jobs are leaving New York because of high costs and high taxes. That has to change, and the governor has committed, if we work with him, if we support him, that he will make the tough decisions to lead that effort. And so I think that's what we're responding to, and we see this as a cooperative effort between business, small business, large business, the communities around the state, and organized labor, very much a part of that. It's in all of our interests as New Yorkers. Our economy has collapsed. Our government is broken. It's time to fix it.
My guests on WNYC, two of the organizers of the group called the Committee to Save New York, Catherine Wilde, chair of the Partnership for New York City, comprised of 200 top CEOs in the city, and Stephen Spinola, president of the Real Estate Board of New York, an association of 12,000 owners, builders, brokers, and others involved in New York Realty. And we'll get specifically into that question of taxes, because you know there are going to be people arguing on the other side, especially with respect to the temporary income tax surcharge on the wealthiest earners. But the Times reported last month that there were expected to be three co-chairs of your committee, former Comptroller Carl McCall, Richard Parsons, chairman of Citigroup, and Rob Speier, CEO of Tishman Speier Real Estate. Is that trio official now, Catherine?
No, that is not official. We're still working on setting up the board and the leadership of the committee. What's official is that Felix Rowatton, who led the group out of the fiscal crisis, is our honorary chairman.
Back in the 1970s.
And he brought together business and labor, as you recall, to work together to save New York City. And we think that's the spirit that we want to pursue for New York State.
Greg Floyd, president of the Teamsters Local 237, Stephen, is arguing that the real estate and banking industries caused the crisis, and now you want to place the burden to solve it on public employees. Fair criticism?
No. I don't think there's any basis for that criticism. I'm not sure what
I
the real estate industry...
I think he's talking about a different crisis. He's talking about the financial crisis, the global financial crisis, I think.
Which has resulted in a lot of the downturn in state tax revenues, which is causing the state fiscal crisis in large measure, correct?
Not really. I mean, that's a very modest contribution. If you look at the trajectory of state spending growth and debt, as opposed to state revenues, this is a long-term structural problem that's been happening over the last decade and a half. This is not a result of the financial crisis and immediate recession. That is a blip on the screen compared to the overall problem that New York State faces and its costs, where our Medicaid costs are double the country, our education costs are almost double the country average, and that has to do with growing our expenses far more than our economy. Our economy upstate has been diminishing, while and our economy in New York City is struggling to carry the state. The downstate economy is struggling to carry all the burdens of New York State and sending a lot more tax dollars to Albany than we get back. So I think that's a misunderstanding of what problem we're trying to solve for here.
But you're not going to deny that the fiscal crisis, the economic crisis in the country, has made the state's fiscal crisis much more acute than it would otherwise have been, have you? Because almost every state is facing this fiscal crisis, even states that, you know, have not had the tax and spend policies of New York.
Certainly it has accelerated, but it is a long-term chronic problem in the states and in the overall American economy, as the public sector has, at the state and local level, displaced the private sector as a source of jobs and economic activity.
Stephen, you wanted to add something?
New York State has basically continued to spend beyond its mean. And because of the economic good times, we were able to continue to do that without recognizing that someday we would have to pay for what we're doing. It wasn't the real estate industry or the banking industry that negotiated pensions that we can no longer afford. It wasn't the banking or the real estate industry that negotiated wages that continued to get kept getting increases in this last couple of years, despite the fact that the private sector was basically not giving increases, especially in the first year and the second year. It's ridiculous to suggest that the national picture is the total blame for the financial crisis that New York State now finds itself. Yes, it probably created an awakening, because all of a sudden the money that everybody was used to getting in from the boom wasn't there. But this was going to happen eventually, regardless of who. And the real issue is, how do we solve it? And we can solve it by pretending that we're going to have an economic boom over the next couple of years, and everybody can continue to spend what they're doing. Or we can say, all right, let's look at the kinds of services that we're providing. Why do we have to be first in spending across the country on every item? And we have to say to the workers, the public workers who are there, please come to the table and join in finding the solution. And that may be a freeze that the Governor Cuomo has called for. Makes total sense to me that you would call for a freeze on salaries over the next year or two. And so let the unions come and find a solution.
The big spending areas are in healthcare and education, and we have to look carefully, because we are spending more than states across the country. We're spending more than our counterpart states in both areas, and we're not getting better results. So we all have to sit down and look at where we have to invest more wisely. And I think what the governor has been importantly pointing out is, it's not a matter of cutting spending, it's a matter of smart spending, living within our means and figuring out how we invest in smarter ways and how we get better results. And
Catherine,
I think that's the message.
Did your partnership support the TARP? The partnership for New York City. Did it support the TARP?
We supported the stimulus package. There really wasn't much opportunity for anybody to support the TARP. It happened so quickly.
Because some New Yorkers will say your group was benefited, a lot of your members, those companies, benefited by massive taxpayer bailouts. And now you're out to cut spending on health care for the poor and on public schools.
All of which have been repaid with profits. So yeah, I wouldn't characterize the financial interventions as bailout. It was a bailout of the system. The institutions in New York that some of them were forced to take TARP money have, in fact, all repaid the money with profit.
Stephen, you mentioned taxing people beyond their means earlier, and you mentioned the legitimacy of the wage freeze. We had an unscientific online poll the other day asking if listeners support the governor's plan for a state employee's one-year wage freeze, and the answer was overwhelmingly yes, freeze their wages. Today we're asking on our website, and it's an unscientific poll, but we're asking should income taxes go down in New York right now for people making $200,000 plus? And so far the answer to that, it's small sample, is no, they should not go down. The unions might want to see these things as opposites, but maybe the moral answer to both questions is consistent. Freeze wages for public employees in this crisis, no raise, and freeze taxes for the rich, no cut. Why not both and to that question?
Well, I'm not. I believe New York State is, even without the surcharge, is still the highest tax, clearly in the region and probably close in the country. So I don't think anybody has to apologize for not taxing rich people in New York State, even without this. I don't know what the solution is going to be. I think the millionaire's tax, as it's called, generates about $2 or $3 billion a year. The pay freeze generates about $200 million a year. We need to find the right solution. Now, if you ask your listeners, would they support taxes on the rich if it also might mean that those people will make a decision, number one, to move out and therefore the number will not generate as much money, or that investments won't be made in the state of New York, and as a result of that, jobs may be lost or jobs won't be created, you might get a little different response. So the thought process has to go a lot deeper than should we tax rich people. The answer is going to be overwhelmingly yes, you should tax rich people. But already rich people pay an overwhelming share. I think it's 1%. Kathy, use your number. 1% pays about 40% of the income taxes to the state of New York already. So I don't think it's a fair question. You've got to lay it down to what will that do to the issue of not just keeping jobs, preserving jobs, but creating jobs. We need to create jobs in order to get out of this fiscal crisis that we're in, and having the highest taxes around for so-called rich people is not going to encourage that.
So, Catherine, the bottom line is people making over $500,000 a year should get this 2 percentage point tax cut, even if they can afford it, because they just have the rest of New Yorkers over a barrel because they can move to Florida?
That's not what's happening. In fact, there was a surcharge placed on incomes of middle and upper income people, families earning $200,000 in a taxpayer household, that was placed on as a 3-year emergency levy. That 3 years continues through next year, through the coming year, and then that tax sunsets. That was the promise of the state. We'll put on an emergency surcharge, and people agreed to go along with that. If the state breaks its word to the taxpayers and now says, well, we're going to continue that surcharge, then I think you're going to see an acceleration of the people who are leaving New York. After all, we've got more people leaving New York State than any other state in the country, and that is largely attributable to our property tax and income tax burdens. And that combined tax burden is starting to be a decision maker, not just for individuals and families, but also and for young people, but also for businesses. And we have to change the message New York State is sending if we're going to be competitive. We cannot do that on the path that we've been on. We cannot do that if the legislature and the governor were to break the word of saying this is a 3-year temporary tax and then extend it. We've got to change the message and convince people New York is headed in a new direction. We're going to live within our means, just like every family has to, just like every small business has to.
30 seconds left. Stephen Spinola, any last word or anything to especially look forward to in the State of the State address today or whatever you want to add?
No, I think we're looking forward to some real specific recommendations by the governor. We'll then evaluate them and comment on them as we evaluate them. We're looking forward to this debate, this actual discussion about where New York State's fiscal future is going. And unless we face reality, we're not going to a very good place.
Stephen Spinola and Catherine Weil, two of the organizers of the Committee to Save New York. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
And again, listeners, we will have the State of the State address live at 1:30 this afternoon on AM 820 WNYC, including a simultaneous online chat that I'll be hosting on our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, 1:30 this afternoon. Coming up in just a minute, we'll talk about nothing less than human dignity. Stay with us.